Hi and welcome to CDI's Restorative Practices podcast, Circles of Connection, where we get right into the heart of the community and talk all things RP. These past few months we've been busy collecting stories from right across the country about the impact of RP on people's work and life. We talked to social and community workers, youth workers, SNAs, teachers, students and more to gather their testimonies and stories. Each episode is focusing on a different setting. If you're not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative questions and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of our podcast series where it's all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danew, a restorative practices trainer for CDI, delighted to be gathering these stories. For this episode and the next one, I went to Fair House Educate Together Secondary School in Dublin, and I met with Claire Matthews, principal, Andrew Maloney, deputy principal, Carol Flynn, secretary, Aisling O'Neill, student support assistant, Charlene Nolan, a first-year student's mother, and three second-year students, Maïssa Labidi, Millie McCarthy and Amy Roach. Fair House Educate Together Secondary School opened in August 2018 and was set up from the beginning with a restorative vision and ethos. Claire Matthews has been trained in restorative practices with the International Institute of RP, known as IIRP, in 2009, just before CDI started developing their own RP training. Claire worked with Michelle Stowe to provide training to staff, students and parents. Michelle is the director of Connect RP and specialized in supporting schools who are committed to whole school implementation. She began her restorative journey in 2010 as a teacher and CDI trainer in Tala West when CDI brought training to her community. She has kept an ongoing working relationship with CDI since then. In this episode, we'll try to capture how the restorative culture in the school was created and what tools help to maintain it. In the next episode, we'll deepen our reflection about the restorative culture by hearing how the school community sees and lives the relationships between all its members and how everyone is supported to be their best self. Amy explained what are the set of values for the school and what it means for her.
I'm Amy Roach and I'm 14 going into third year in Fair House Educate Together. So there's seven values and it's an acronym for respect, if you like write them all down and like the starting letters spell out respect, which is what we try to be all about in this school. So the first one is relationships, then it's empathy, then it's safety, then it's personal accountability, then it's equity, community and trust. And the first one is relationships, and it's just to talk like to the it's like the relationship keepers and the way that we don't call teachers Mr. or Miss or Mrs. It's just like the relationships might be better than in the traditional school. Empathy, we try to be very empathetic because empathy is like feeling about like what they might be going through, not just sympathy. Like it's not always as meaningful. Then safety. Of course, the teachers want to keep us safe. We want to keep each other safe. Personal accountability is like taking accountability for our actions, like owning up to things that we've done. Equity is like equity of voice so that everyone can be heard. Community is just so that we have a sense of community here, and it helps that we're very small so we can kind of have a stronger sense of community. And then trust, just to be trusting of each other, and the teachers trust us to be personally accountable. So they all kind of link and intertwine in some way.
So we'll come back on some elements Amy is mentioning, like the relationship keepers and the way students and teachers interact in our next episode. Claire summarized what's our vision for the school.
Claire Matthews, I'm principal here in Fair House Educate Together Secondary School. My vision for the school was, you know, if I'm to be succinct about it, a restorative school that supports everybody to be their best self. That's the whole school community. Our school motto is be your best self, and one that strives for excellence in teaching and learning. And I think you can't have one without the other. So the environment, the relational culture that we're building here, that's all very supportive and necessary to developing a learning culture that allows each of the students here and the team to really engage in the kind of learning that and the kind of education that our young people need. I think the thing is with restorative practice, actually, it's an intentional commitment to be restorative all day, every day. And when things get tricky, you don't just chuck it out the window. You know, you remember your values and you say, OK, well, how do we want to go about this? So everything, you know, happens here is restorative. Every conversation is restorative. Every interaction is restorative. So, you know, it's not a case of, oh, restorative didn't work today, so I'm going to drop that now. And I'm going to, you know, now the practices, obviously, you pick and choose in terms of actual systems and practices, how you go about it. But yeah, you know, it is back to that way of being. It's kind of who we are as a school.
Fair House Educate Together Secondary School is not just a school using restorative practices. It's first and foremost a restorative school. So before exploring the actual practices or tools that are in place, we will focus on how the restorative culture was created.
So recruitment. And then, you know, so when I was advertising the positions, first line, this is a restorative school. I just owned it from the start. And I have to say, I kind of was a bit nervous around that. I remember talking to Michelle about it. I said, oh, crikey, you know, if you talk about anything in absolutes, you're setting yourself up for a fall. And then I was like, well, at the same time, considering the experience I've had at restorative practice and my own journey with it, if I'm not doing it, who is, you know? So, you know, so you kind of have to just say, okay, right, I'm going to take that leap of faith that, you know, this will attract the kind of people that we need here as part of the team. And really it did. So that the teachers and the student support assistants and Carol, our secretary, everybody that has come on board here, I suppose, realize actually the importance of culture and the importance of team and community and the fact that the values guide us through everything that we do. So recruitment is hugely important, you know, so where there may be a skills gap potentially, the most important thing is openness to feedback and wanting to be in a restorative school. So recruitment was extremely important. And so because, you know, one of our colleagues, Deirdre, I remember she commented just maybe, I think it was last autumn, she said, you remember, Claire, actually, she goes, when the school opened, you know, on the 27th of August, 2018, was the 27th, Andrew, wasn't it? Yeah, it's your birthday. And there wasn't one relationship in existence prior to that. So, and then 2 years in now, obviously, we have wonderful relationships established and we're growing them all of the time. So, but you're building everything from the ground up. So we've had a very interesting 2 years. We've had a lot of learning, a lot of grappling. You know, the theory into practice piece has been, you know, particular, and I suppose the messaging, like back to recruitment. So the interviews were held in circles. So I sent out the invitation to interview. I told everybody who was coming to interview who was going to be interviewing them, that because it was a restorative school, it was going to be in a circle and it was going to be a conversation. Training was the next step. So I knew, obviously, I facilitated workshops for CDI, and then I facilitated workshops in my own right then in education centres and with Michelle. So, but at the same time, I kind of thought I wanted to do a certain amount of the training and I wanted to get Michelle involved as well, because, you know, to kind of share out the experience. And obviously Michelle has been amazing, I suppose, in supporting us in becoming a restorative school.
Andrew tells us about his experience of starting with the school in that context and how he's learning by trying and making mistakes.
I'm Andrew Maloney and I'm Deputy Principal here in Fair House Educate Together Secondary School. When I started here first, I was chatting to the first Deputy Principal that I ever had. And when I started here as a classroom teacher, I was so concerned about getting the teaching right, I was obsessed, as I was nervous, you know, getting your pedagogy right, getting your methodologies, the activities correct. And he kind of just stopped and went, that doesn't matter in the initial stages. He goes, you're in a very unique position. You are not just going into a classroom where you slot in and you're just, it's enough to be able to teach. You're creating a culture. And that's one thing that the initial team have really, really, as Claire has mentioned, taken on board, that it's not enough in a startup context that's restorative just to be focused on the bricks, the mortar and the teaching. It's so much more than that. I think from Claire's side, looking at it, it's a... it's a perfect opportunity, a startup school, to be bringing in restorative approaches, because so often we hear in schools that, you know, the challenges that arise when you're trying to implement it in systems that are already long established. But we had a really good opportunity to do that. You learn an awful lot by making mistakes with RP. And I think that that's the lovely part of it, because I think back to last year, in the first year of me as a classroom teacher, and the approaches that I took. And you learn off other people. You learn by being open about your mistakes, by going, hey, I actually said this to a student. Do you think that was the right thing to say? Or the approach that I took was X, Y, Z. Would you have recommended the same approach? Those conversations are so, so useful. And I think as we build a team moving forward, it's important that, you know, we have that open door culture, that people are allowed to see not only our successes with RP, but also the times where we mightn't be doing it justice, and how can we do it justice into the future.
It's about modelling and reflecting, and that's how the culture is growing.
I think what we model is hugely important here. I mean, the I suppose the students see how we are together as a team as well, and how we work together as a team, and how we you know, we actually live and walk our values every day here. I mean, you know, our values are, we have the respect values. It's relationships first, you know, and I say that regularly.
Aisling tells us about her experience when starting in the school.
My name is Aisling. I am a student support assistant at Fair House Educate Together Secondary School. As a student support assistant, I'm there to help students with special needs, but also other students in the class that may need help. So we don't restrict it to SEN children. We also reach out to other children within the class. I was actually a qualified accountant and decided to change career last year. So this is my first full-time job as a SSA. I'll admit, prior to the interview, I had no idea what restorative practice was. So I only learned about it when I started at the end of August last year. But Michelle has come into the school so many times, and obviously with the staff teaching you day to day. I've also partaken in a course there in November. So yeah, it's been really, really refreshing. Brilliant. I'm, you know, delighted with the choice I made.
Constant modelling and reflecting are the core practices, and that's how the culture is embedded and how the students learn, as Carol tells us.
I'm Carol Flynn, and I am the school secretary at Fair House ETSS. Well, we work hard, I think we work hard on both sides, that they understand that they're, in order for this school to be the community that everyone wants it to be, there has to be respect on both sides. So it's very much that, you know, the team are trained, obviously, in restorative practice. The students come in, they're not aware of, they don't, you know, they're not, they haven't been used to restorative practice. So they learn the way through the team, having the respect for the students, and then the students learn that they must come back with that respect. So it works then both ways. And that's where the natural boundaries are created, because the respect is on both sides.
It can be challenging to create this culture in a society that is not fully restorative. Let's listen to Andrew and Claire.
Society isn't restorative in, as a whole. There are restorative elements to our society, yes. But even a 12, 13-year-old is coming to school with a little bit of, you know, distrust towards an establishment. And even though we are a different establishment to a lot of other schools as a restorative one, it takes time for that trust to grow. But to see the reaction and the responses of our teachers when things happen. And look, in every school, you're going to have examples of students not bringing in homework, students talking to their friend. But there are, you know, the non-restorative way of responding just harms that trust building. Whereas here in Fair House, it's so important that trust is constantly being built by honouring the relationship with the student. I'm not going to shout at you. I'm not going to shame you. It takes a while to get that understanding going, even in your own mind as a teacher.
And when you're, you know, when people are challenging the philosophy, that's hard, you know, and you just have to, you know, I find myself sometimes I have to repeat myself a lot. And I don't mean that in any disparaging way, but it's just, you know, you have to, like, you have to be generous with people. You know, everybody has a different perspective. You have to be patient. they don't realise you've had 50 million similar conversations, you know. You know, you have to approach every new relationship with a parent or a student with that kind of beginner's mind that's needed, and you know, to support them with where they're at in terms of developing their own emotional awareness, self-awareness. Like, self-awareness is key. Like, yeah, I think, you know, and that's something that we're, like, here as a team, we kind of talk about that. It's one of the, I think when we met on our first team day as well, I talked about the importance of reflection and self-awareness, and the energy that we bring to situations, and the need for us to be generous with ourselves and with each other on that as we start in this new adventure. I suppose that's what, you know, I keep talking about. I want people to come on the adventure that is a new school, that is a restorative school, that is a school that's, you know, really invested in quality teaching and learning to meet the needs of our students. It's not for everybody. It just isn't. And I think that's why, you know, clarity of expectation, you know, we think about fair process and restorative practice as well. People need to know what they're signing up for from a team perspective, from a parent's perspective, from a student's perspective, you know, and to be aware that when it gets tricky, that's when we need to remember our values most, you know. So sometimes I suppose I've heard the thing, you know, because there's a huge, like, commitment from parents, obviously. They haven't experienced a restorative culture necessarily. Certainly, probably, they might have encountered kind of restorative people in schools, but their experience is very much obviously coloured by their own experience of school. And, you know, we've been working with the parents, and we've a lot more work to do in terms of developing their understanding of what restorative is and isn't. You know, like, you know, some people say, but you're doing nothing. And I'm like, I've spent hours meeting with that child, you know, and talking through with that child and helping them and supporting them. And I know for a fact that, well, I'm just thinking of a child, you know, they're doing so well considering everything that's going on for them. But if a person is looking at it with a kind of more traditional punitive mindset, and, you know, because we're not going, you know, traditional methods of detention or suspension necessarily, which we all know are a waste of time and don't actually change anything, you know, when you really delve into it. But sometimes people's need for something to be done, in inverted commas, doesn't always allow or consider the time and commitment that is in place to every student in our school. And I think that's the difference. You know, we are committed to every student here, and we will support every student to be their best self. And that can be difficult for some people to get their head around when perhaps they have been harmed, and we have to help them figure out what it is they need in terms of unmet needs and support them through that process. So it definitely takes, you know, time when you are working restoratively. Communication is key. Developing understanding of the whole school community is something that we will continue to work on, you know, with parents' evenings. And often, you know, when parents, you know, ask their son or daughter or their children when they come home, you know, what did you learn today? Or tell us a bit about what happened today. They're comparing it back to their experience. So there's still work to be done there. But I mean, I think we've come a long way even with that in the 2 years.
What are the actual practices that help the school community to live by their values? And what tools support the culture of the school? First, circles are central with the use of a talking piece. Maïssa and Millie tell us more about it.
Hi, my name is Maïssa Labidi. I'm going to be going in third year, and I attend Fair House Educate Together. Circles time is for 15 minutes every single day, well, Monday to Thursday, because on Fridays we have assembly. But for 15 minutes we go in a circle and we have a talking piece, and we say our energy rating, which is from 1 to 10. One is like not feeling very good and 10 is amazing. And then we pass around talking piece and we get asked a question and we have to answer the question.
My name is Millie McCarthy. I'm 14 and I've just finished second year at Fair House Educate Together Secondary School. I love Check and Connect in the morning. I look forward to it every morning because, like, you get to learn like stuff about people, like their hobbies and their interests every morning. So that's good.
Some classes are also set up in circle.
It's different classes. For example, We can use them in science, or we can use them in especially in English. We use them to talk and to explain stuff in. It's used for almost every class. It's more equal to everyone because we're in a circle. There's no like start or end. It's basically we get to see everyone, and it's not just us looking at the teacher. We're able to see everyone, and we're able to have a point of view from everyone, you know.
We use like talking pieces, so we wouldn't always have to put up our hand. Well, like we put up our hands for the talking pieces, but like more student based, not the teacher always asking questions. Students can ask questions as well.
I think the talking piece helps for equity, so that it's not just the person that puts their hand up the fastest, because some people might be like, they might not want to put their hand up, even if they know. So then the teacher would know and just call them up and say, you know it, and like it would kind of help them come out of their shell a bit.
Check-in and connect circles are done every morning to build community, as Claire explains.
Check and connect in the morning, I think it's hugely important for a community building perspective. We've made decisions around that as to what that needs to look like as well. So we have a certain number of students from every class group in every check and connect. So there might be, you know, one check and connect happening in room one, but there are maybe three or four students from each class group. And that is all purposely and intentionally done with the idea. And we share that with the students. Why are we doing it this way? Because we're building community. We want everybody to get to know each other. We don't want any, you know, unnecessary, I suppose, barriers to that. So by starting our day every morning together, and you, because they may not be in the same class as any of those students throughout the rest of the day, you know, then they get to know each other, and then break times they might pick up with each other because they've heard something in the circle in the morning that they want to discuss further. I suppose it's been really intentional about the structures that we create and why we're doing it and sharing that with everybody.
Restorative circles with the use of the restorative questions are held to deal with conflicts and or incidents. They are also called relationship circles.
I was in a relationship circle not for behavioural problems. We had a slight disagreement between friends, let's put it this way. And one of the teachers, which we trusted in, we talked to her about it and we told her what was happening, and then she invited everyone who was involved into a relationship circle, which we talked to, and then only the people holding the talking piece could talk and then say their point of view, and we got to sort through it and we're now all good.
Checking in the morning, classes, staff meeting, board of management meetings, interviews of new staff, assembly, circles are the most common setting in the school. Andrew and Claire share their insights about them.
The really powerful things about circles are, if we're talking about community and we're serious about building a community, what the circles do in the classroom context, it's really, you know, psychologically it's fascinating. What it does is it reminds the students that they are in a community. That when you think of a traditional classroom setup, everybody's looking the same way and the community is all directed at the teacher. But when you, even if it's beginning and ending class with the circle, or even if you decide to use the circle for the full duration of your class, it still reminds the students, and they're looking at each other. They're looking at everybody. It's equity, you know, of place in the circle. And that's really strong to remind the students of, that there's a community around you. Yeah. It's very powerful just to see their eyes move around the circle. And particularly like in a language class, it's very awkward for the students initially to use the language. You know, they find it that initial stage, but they're very conscious of pronunciation and that. But to see the students support each other, and it's great from a teacher's side. Yeah, I think circles are very good, and I would have never used them before, really, unless it was a game or fun would have thrown around a ball or something. I didn't use them as much as I do now. But yeah, it's the idea that community has to be more than just a word that we have up on the wall, or, you know, a hello to each other on the corridors. It's much, much more than that.
Circles are a great teaching and learning tool as well. I mean, you know, if you're looking at a dialogic model, you know, or Socratic kind of way of developing students' understanding and thinking processes and helping them to learn from each other, you know, and develop their critical thinking skills, massively powerful. I mean, I am an English and French teacher, and I used to love when I was teaching, getting the students into a circle or smaller circles, you know, for group work or whole class discussions. So, and I think it's important for the students to see that it's not just in check and connect in the morning, that it's not just a one-off for the day, that it's very much part of the fabric of how we do things around here.
Claire gives an example of how a facilitated circle helped to deal with a problem in a class.
One of the team was having a couple of issues with a class group. And so I asked, did she want me to go in and facilitate a circle with her to talk about how the class could work together more community-based and more reflective of our values. The first round was how the circle, or how the class community is right now, scale of 1 to 10. Where did they want it to be? And what was needed to get it there then was the third round. And then they shared ideas then as to how they can improve things and how they were going to know that they were improving things. So it was very, you know, proactive, very, it was coaching really as well. It was kind of eliciting it out of them. And obviously ERP is a coaching model, and coaching is something that we're very committed to here as well as a culture. So they had huge ownership over then how to improve things in the classroom. And for the teacher then, I suppose, and that's a key thing as well, supporting each other with circles and with training and, you know, developing, because it can be quite kind of a vulnerable space to be in as an adult, to work in circles if you're not used to having done them before. And so helping each other out with that has been really helpful. So, and so they basically agreed how they were going to be together going forward and that they were going to check in on it the following week. And I suppose for the teacher felt supported. The students got an opportunity to say how they could improve things. And ultimately then a couple of weeks later, when I went back in again to see, well, how have we been going? You know, they could articulate actually the change that had arrived in the classroom. Now, it also required the teacher to want to be involved in that process too, which she did. And so together then they made that difference, you know, without it going down the rabbit hole of investigation or who did what, you know. It was more of a proactive approach, I suppose, to kind of trying to improve the classroom dynamic.
Charlene shares her experience of the impact of a relationship circle her son Rory was involved in. She mentions he has an ASD, which means autism spectrum disorder.
Hi, I'm Charlene Nolan, and I am a mother of Rory McHugh, and he has just completed first year here in Firhouse Educate Together Secondary School. So my son is ASD, and he has a condition called pathological demand avoidance. So his reactions to certain conflict situations, or, you know, his difficulties can arise by him lashing out. So he can, in the moment, do something that he necessarily didn't think through, and he might hurt someone, or he might hurt somebody by something he says. These are just the way Rory reacts to, you know, demands or things that cause him stress. So that has happened a good few times with Rory over the course of the year here. And it's always been dealt with very, well, restoratively, but very calmly. There's never been any blame. And I really enjoy that for Rory, in not being judged in that, because his experience in education and the conflicts that he's, you know, encountered in primary school with kids or teachers and what have you, there's always been a judgment or a blame or whose fault it is type of approach. And it didn't work for him. It made him very mistrustful, and it made him very suspicious and defensive. He just got into something physical in the yard, but the school was, we were only here a few days, weren't we? And getting the phone call to say that something had gone down, like, my heart just broke. I was like, oh no. Oh no, this is the, oh no, oh no, not this again. I was just broken, because we'd been living that whole summer in this big hopeful bubble about Rory and his new start, and everything's going to be great and everything's going to be cool. Maybe not with that punchy enthusiasm, but, you know, like, definitely looking forward to a new thing for him. And for that to happen on day two or three or whatever it was like, oh man, it was such a blow. It was such a blow to both of us. We'd like, when I came from work to the school, Rory was inside on a beanbag and Claire was there and was Grania there? And Rory was had a, like a bruise on his eye and he was crying and I was crying. And we just, it was just a rock bottom type of, oh. And the reason why I think we reacted that way is because if this had happened somewhere else, we knew what was coming down the line, you know. It was going to be, Rory, you need to take responsibility and consequences and, you know, you can't go there now. You have to go over there and you can't be part of this thing. And, you know, all that kind of the way it was dealt with before. But it didn't happen like that. It was, it was acknowledged. This is really sad. I'm really sad that this has happened. And the other person's really sad too, but we'll talk about it. So just go home and we're here for you. And don't worry about it. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. And even that was like, we're like, okay, right. Okay. Let's, are we going to go? Are we just leave? And yeah, just go home. And that was grand. So then naturally my son was really worried about coming into school the next day. I came in with him and we just had a chat about it. And it was laid out to Rory that, I hope you're okay. And, God, it's all a bit of a blur now, but, he was told, look, we're going to have a chat about it at some stage during the day and that, you know, it's everything's going to be okay and everything, you know, don't worry about it and we'll figure it out from there. That literally was it. Like, I know Rory got a bit of a sting from it and maybe was a bit for, you know, a while, but Rory went back out into the community of the school community and got on with it. You know, it wasn't told that you can't join in this thing now or because of the way that you behaved or the way you reacted now, you're not going to be able to come on the school trip or whatever it was that might have happened in another school. They both apologised to each other. They both realised that both of them had experienced an unhappy thing at the hands of the other. Nobody was really blamed. There was no blame put on it. It was just, this is what I thought happened. Well, I thought this happened. Okay, I'm really sorry. Let's just move on. And when this happens again, if it happens again, it might happen again, then we'll talk again and everything will be okay. It was brilliant. I came back home from work that day and I walked into school and I saw Rory. Usually after something like that happened, he'd be like totally down on himself, like really critical and annoyed. And he just had this big smile on his face. He was like, everything was okay. It was grand. I think him and the young person that was involved in it, I don't think they were best pals straight away or anything like that. Like, but there was no animosity, I don't think. He might have been a little bit, oh yeah, he was there today, but not on any level the way it would have been in the other school. It was just really nice. And that's where I started to see, okay, this might be okay. We might get through this. And we did.
Thank you to everybody involved in these episodes. Stay tuned to hear next week more interesting reflections and stories about the relationships in the school and how everyone is supported to be their best self.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to rate and to subscribe to the show. And thank you to the production team at the podcast studios and to all who took part on the project. Find out more at cdi.ie.